from Baldoyle to Beaumont.
Community radio for Northeast Dublin. 90.3. Near FM.
Now, I am delighted to be joined again on Northside today by local Sinn Féin TD, Louise O'Reilly. Louise, it's lovely to talk to you again, and can I thank you for being so givish, as always, with your time for us here at Near FM.
Thanks, Tony, and I want to thank you for asking me, because as you know, and we've talked about this many times, I'm a big supporter of community media. I think our media is the best way to get the message right across to the people, so I'm very, very glad to be with you.
Louise, you have a motion before the Dáil, which I find very interesting, and I find it interesting on a couple of fronts. But basically what you're looking for is a decent basic wage, I think is about the best way of describing it. So talk to me about that, Louise, first, please.
So Sinn Féin believes, and I believe, and have done for a very long time, that what we need to put in place is actually a living wage. So it's a wage, not a minimum wage, because the minimum wage as it stands at the moment, people couldn't live on it, right? 10, 15 hour, people can't live on that money. You just couldn't. And indeed, the Tánaiste himself acknowledged earlier on this week that...
That's exactly why I phrased my question the way I did, yeah. Louise, because I saw that... press release from Leo Varadkar, and I said, oh, is he trying to steal Louise's clothes here?
He'd never steal my clothes. They wouldn't fit him. My clothes are socialists. They wouldn't fit on him. But no, what he said was, you know, that people who are on the minimum wage, that they aren't the main breadwinners, and that they're very often living at home with their parents. So what Sinn Féin wants to see is a basic minimum wage that is enough that you can live independently, and that takes account of the pressures on you, you know, like rent, like groceries, you know, like childcare, all of those costs that people have to pay. And, you know, I think we need to, there is a thing in place at the moment called the Low Pay Commission. It was set up by the Labour Party. I think the Low Pay Commission is the wrong message to send, a commission on low pay. I'd rather have a commission on decent wages, to be honest. But Sinn Féin want to see the Low Pay Commission changed into being the Living Wage Commission, and that their job is to do the research, decide what the living wage is, and then to implement it. Now, we know that we couldn't bring that in overnight. You couldn't snap your fingers and just bring that in, because there's a lot of jobs where, you know, the employer is going to have to struggle to be able to pay those wages. And, you know, that needs to be acknowledged. So you need to have a little bit of a lead-in time. But what the government have done is they've said they believe the living wage should be €12.17 per hour. And the funny thing, actually, Tony, just as an aside, if you'll bear with me on this one, last year, in March of 2021, they said they thought the living wage should be €12.30. And now, this year, they're saying they think it should be €12.17.
But, so Louise, can I just interject there for a moment? Because I think we have a brilliant barometer that we can go on in relation to this. And, you know, COVID didn't provide us with a lot of good things. But the one thing I noticed, and I was thinking about this when I was running through what we were going to chat about in my head earlier. When COVID hit and the government had to put in place emergency payments for people who were temporarily out of work or whatever, they set a figure of €350 per week. Now, I would have thought, in my stupidity, that somebody in government circles decided, well, you need at least that to live per week, yet our social welfare rate is pitched at €120 a week lower than that.
Yes. And that's the thing, you see, the government are sort of all over the place. Now, I wouldn't fault them too much on what they did, because they did it in a panic, they did it quickly, and to be fair, and it's a credit to the people in the Department of Social Protection, that they were able to move that fast when the country was shutting down, people needed an emergency injection, and I get that, right? But the fact that they're so sketchy on the details around the living wage, you know, they're saying we want to bring in the living wage, but here's the other one, and this is my own personal favourite bit of it. Varadkar announced during the week that, you know, he says, I want to bring in a living wage. I'm pledging it. He pledged it again last year, so I don't know if people have figured out how you can pay for your shopping with pledges. But anyway, he pledged it last year, pledged it again this year. But this year's pledge says that it won't actually be brought in fully until a year after the end of the term of this government. So technically this government is due to run until 2025. But he's saying that his plan, his grand plan to bring in the living wage, won't deliver it until 2026. I mean, to be fair, Donny, there's a little bit of honesty in that as well, because you know and I know that this government aren't going to deliver a living wage for people. In fact, the very opposite. So it is going to take a change of government. So maybe he's being honest and acknowledging that the next government, if it is a left government, if it is a government with Sinn Féin in it, that that government will be the one that will deliver it. But nobody is naive enough to think you could snap your fingers and bring it in overnight. It has to be phased in, and we get that. But there needs to be a realistic target, and we need to be looking at the minimum acceptable level of wages, and not simply at the figure that the Tánaiste has, which is €12.17. There's other figures out there, €12.50 being another one, €12.30, as I said, was the figure last year. So it's backwards we're going. If it was €12.30 last year, now it's €12.17. I dread to think what next year's pledge is going to be.
Or what he envisages that it will be by 2026. And the other side of it is, how in the name of God can you... I mean, we don't know what the price of a litre of fuel is going to be next week. So how can we predict what the cost of living is going to be in 2026?
Exactly. And I mean, these are the issues here. You know, the other thing we need to look at as well, and it's not strictly related to wages, but it sort of is, we need to look at, what are the pressures on people? So we pay the highest rents, among the highest rents in Europe. We pay among the highest childcare rates in any developed country. Our childcare rates are insane. So the government have a role to play, not just in setting the living wage, but also in ensuring that they move in to control those costs. And everybody knows Sinn Féin's plan for renters. Freeze rents for the immediately, stop them spiralling out of control, put a month's rent back into renters' pockets by way of a refundable tax credit. We also have a plan over the lifetime of government to cut by two-thirds the cost to parents of childcare. So again, these are things that make the living wage more achievable, because you're controlling the costs as well. You're controlling what you have to spend your money on, as well as ensuring that the money there is adequate. You know, like, I genuinely feel for young families out there paying rents of €2,000-€2,500 a month, childcare of €1,500 to €2,000 a month, and on top of that, now they're expected to save for a deposit on a house. And of course, we will all remember when the Tánaiste, when he was Taoiseach, very famously said that in his opinion a lot of people get the deposit for a house off of their parents. Now, I don't know what kind of money their parents have, but I know that most ordinary people, they don't want to go to their parents and take money off them, because if you're a grown up, you want to be able to stand on your own two feet. And B, their parents haven't got it, even if they went to them and asked them. You know, I mean, I don't know if many of your listeners have a spare €40,000 lying around that they could give to one of their kids. I don't think so. So, you know, we know that the government are very out of touch when it comes to issues around working people. And, you know, we have tried to guide them, but they won't listen to us. They do their own thing. And the end result of that is we've lost 13 cents off of the living wage, and it's been pushed out beyond the lifetime of this government. So I don't think they're really serious about the living wage, Donny. That's been honest with you.
And of course, people listening this morning, Louise, are going to say, well, you're talking about the land of milk and honey that Sinn Féin are going to lead us to if they're in power after the next election. So go on, Donny, ask her the question. How is she going to pay for all this?
Well, I mean, progressive taxation funds a huge amount. But the other question, and the thing that we need to look at, is people who are on low incomes, the working poor, and I mean, that's a phrase that we thought we had consigned to the bin, but we haven't. It's back out again. The working poor are the ones who are at the business end of the government policies, and at the moment you're subventing people on low incomes with the family income supplement or the family payments. You're ensuring that you know, rent is subsidised through HAP and everything else, like €1 billion is being spent on HAP. That's insane. Do you know what I mean? So, like, we need to look at what the government is paying out and try to make sure that not just that work pays, but that work pays enough to have a decent standard of living. And I don't think that that's beyond anyone. And, you know, being in government is about priorities. You have to pick your priorities, and you know, this government have prioritised you know, vulture funds and tax breaks for high earners. Sinn Féin and government will prioritise ordinary people. And I've said this, and I actually said it to a woman on the door there you know, a couple of days ago. I said, look, we've had the government for developers, we've had the government for the banks, we've had the government for the multinational corporations. Jesus, isn't it time that we had a government for ordinary people? That's, you know, the governments are about choices. Being in government is about choosing, it's about making decisions and prioritising. And Sinn Féin in government will prioritise ordinary people, people who are out grafting, you know, people who want to be able to have a decent life for their kids and want to be able to say that their kids will have a better life than they had. And I don't think that we can say that now. And I think that that's very, very wrong.
And of course, the question that's going to be asked, Louise, is, well, are you going to have to fund this through extra taxation, thereby hitting the people who can least afford a rise in tax?
No, absolutely not. And if you look at Sinn Féin's alternative budgets all down through the years, we talk about, you know, progressive taxation, which is making sure that those people who have the most and can bear the most, they're the ones that pay the most. There's no sense in taxing, or, you know, giving it with one hand and then taking it back with the other. You know, when we talk about a living wage, we're talking about enough to live on, not enough for the government to scrape extra money off you. Do you know what I mean? So it has to be about delivery. But also, you have to look at controlling the costs where you can. I mean, last, in the year to date, rents in Fingal, where I represent, have gone up by 15%. Like, they were already at an insane level. And the published figures there show us that they've gone up by just under 14.7% or 14.8%. So it more or less rounded up to 15%. I mean, increases like that just are not sustainable for people on ordinary incomes. And we have to ensure that those people can live. You know, I mean, Jeremy Corbyn, when he stood for the leadership of the Labour Party, he said he wanted to be the leader for the many and not the few. And we've had a government for the few. We need a government for the many who will deliver for the people who, you know, the same people that grafted all through COVID. You know, the people who were out, supply chain people, cleaners, porters, people on ordinary wages. You know, we stood up in the Dáil and we gave them a round of applause. But I mean, I just think it would be a much more fitting tribute to the hard work that is done by ordinary people if we could say to them, we're going to help you with your childcare costs. We're going to control the cost of rent. We're going to ensure that you have a realistic path to owning a home if that's what you want. And we're going to make sure that you can retire at the age of 65 with access to the state pension, or to work on to the age of 70 if that is what you choose. And I think that these are the issues that, you know, that keep me active, that keep me up and going on a daily basis, Donny, because I think that we need to deliver for ordinary people now.
Louise, something that we're going to have to talk about is the fact that, you know, with the best will in the world, the government still have a majority. It's getting slimmer, but they still have a majority, so they can enact their policies, which by virtue of that means that you can't enact yours until a day comes when Sinn Féin go into government. And the earliest that can happen, unless the government collapses, is 2025. The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar last week came out and said, well, we'll promise this in 2026 or whatever, you know. But the people listening to us today, Louise, they couldn't give a rattling damn about 2025 or 2026. They're worried about next week and the way that the cost of living is spiralling out of control. And I think a lot of people, particularly the elderly and the poor, are more worried about how in the name of God they're going to stay warm this coming winter.
They are, and that's why we've been calling for an emergency budget. So what the government are saying is, we'll hang on till October and we'll do a budget then. And what we're saying is, people can't wait till October, because the problem is, you see, it's not even waiting till October, Donny, because in October the budget is brought forward, but what actually makes the budget happen is the Finance Act that comes after it, and that takes months to get through the door. So realistically speaking, the measures that they bring in and that they announce in October, most of them won't come into effect until January. Now, I don't know, the people that the Tánaiste is talking to, maybe they can wait until next January, but Jesus, the people I'm representing only can't. They cannot wait. So that's why we've been pushing them. Now, I have to tell you, Sinn Féin have had some success. The government said they wouldn't do anything, and they brought forward the energy credit. Again, it's not enough, but we've been pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. They reduced the transport fares. That's something that we had been pushing for. They also... they brought in, as I said, the energy credits. They also have brought in some other measures. Not enough, you know. They brought down the cost of fuel. They put something into that. Not enough. The cost of home heating oil has doubled in the last year. Electricity's gone up by, I think it's over 60%. You know, people are really up against it. They need it now. And our job as the leaders of the opposition is to make sure we hold our feet to the fire now. And I can tell you, and this is a fact, whatever it is that they have done to date, it's not enough, but they would not have done it were it not for the pressure that Sinn Féin brought to bear on them. So we can be effective in opposition. You can see that we've had an impact on the government, because this government was not minded to do anything for people in fuel poverty, but we were able to force that issue and ensure that there was some action. So, I mean, I'm proud of our role in that. But yeah, more needs to be done. With the question is, can people wait for the next government? Because I don't think, you know, on the 15th of December this year, we're going to get a change of Taoiseach. I think we need a change of government, because we're not going to get a change of approach with the same parties that have brought us the housing crisis, the same parties that have brought us the crisis in childcare, the same parties that have brought us the crisis in our health service. They keep doing the same stuff over and over again. And I mean, I laugh when people say, oh, do you not think is there some sort of magic money tree? And I just point them to the magic money tree that's fallen all over the big building in Dublin 8, the National Children's Hospital, set to be one of the most expensive hospitals ever built. So before people want to attack other parties about how they deal with their finances, just look at the example of what this government are and what they do and how they spend money. You know, the original plan for that hospital, it was 437 million euros plus that. We're now looking at 2 billion euros. So when it comes to fiscal responsibility and all the rest of it, I certainly wouldn't be looking at this government as a model of how to do that at all.
In other words, Louise, you wouldn't be looking for financial advice off the Minister for Finance or Public Expenditure for yourself.
I wouldn't, but I tell you, if I was a builder, I might be looking to build something for him, because they do seem to have endless pockets. I mean, look at the cost of it. I mean, it's multiples. And look at the costs will always overrun to a certain degree, and we know that. But long ever before there was construction inflation running at the level that it's running now, long ever before that, we were facing down the prospect of a 2 billion euro hospital, you know. And these are the lads that are supposed to be lecturing other people about the need to be prudent with the finances. Like, you couldn't make it up sometimes.
Louise, you mentioned there in passing that the government did reduce the excise duty, I think it was, on fuel. But I found it perplexing that very coincidentally, 24 hours before the government announced that, the price of fuel went up by the exact same amount percentage-wise that it was going to be reduced the next day. I presume that wasn't lost on you either?
Well, I think Piers Doherty actually said it at the time, you know, when we were in the Dáil that night. Like, we supported that reduction, right? It wasn't enough, but at least it was something. But, like, I mean, we said it, and, you know, it was already swallowed up. The ink wasn't even dry before the cost had overtaken it. The people in the industry will tell you that this was already pre-planned, and that there was nothing, that the increase was going to happen anyway, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know the ins and outs of that, but what I do know is I've had constituents contact me saying they can't do without their car, particularly if you have a child with disabilities, because these are the people who absolutely can't do without the car. Like, you can't get to hospital and back and for all the appointments and everything on public transport. It's not doable. So for an awful lot of people, they're having to fill their car, but they're worried. And I'm talking to a fella down the petrol station local to me there, the last couple of days. And what he's saying is he's noticed people are coming in and they're putting €15 in or €20 in when they would have just sailed in and filled up the car previously. They're now being very, very cautious. They're watching really closely the price of it. People are reducing the amount of time that they spend in the car, reducing the amount of travel that they do in the car. But for an awful lot of people, they don't have a choice, Tony. You know, if they want to go to the shops, if they want to go for an appointment, they don't have public transport or they can't use public transport. They have no choice but to use their car. And I mean, I feel for them because they are at the mercy of this. And it's easy for the government to blame the war in Ukraine, and that's had a hugely destabilising impact on the economy. I wouldn't dispute that for a moment. But we've been calling for cost of living measures since last September, long ever before this stage of the war in Ukraine, or the invasion by Vladimir Putin. We knew that this was coming, that there was a cost of living crisis coming. What has happened is the war in Ukraine has added to it, but it certainly hasn't caused it. And the government have known that this was happening because we've been talking about this since last September.
Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Mark Leo Varadkar, so that's Enterprise, and what's the other two or three titles you have,
Enterprise,
Louise?
Enterprise, Trade, Employment and Workers' Rights.
Louise, one of the busiest working politicians in the Dáil, and I have to say, I started off by thanking you for taking the time to talk to me today, and Louise, I really do appreciate it. I hope that in some way you may have given some bit of hope and some bit of a light at the end of the tunnel to our listeners. And all I can do is thank you for your time today, and I look forward to talking to you in the near future. Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. It's always a pleasure.
From Balldoyle to Beaumont.
Community radio for Northeast Dublin. 90.3.
90.3.
Near FM.